You're listening to the FQXI podcast.
Anyway, all this talk about twisting time and quantum mechanics has left me so confused about the past, present, and future that I may need a nap to untwist my brain.
Funnily enough, two other FQXI members, quantum physicist Kavan Modi and neuroscientist Nao Tsuchiya, both of Monash University in Melbourne, Australia, may well agree about the merits of snoozing for understanding time perception. They've developed an objective measure of the degree of consciousness in fruit flies based on the complexity of the insect's neural signals. Surprisingly, they found that wakefulness in the flies is associated with time asymmetry. I chatted to both researchers earlier about the fly experiments. Tsuchiya began by explaining why it is important for people to distinguish the level of consciousness of others in medical contexts, such as those involving brain injuries and general anesthesia.
So my name is Nao Tsuchiya. My specialty is the neural basis of consciousness. The problem of this level of consciousness is that from outside, you can't really tell whether someone is conscious or not. If you have a massive brain injury, so you can't speak or you can't hear, but you are cognitive and also thinking and emotion and feeling, everything is intact. But if the communication channel is broken, somebody else might actually consider you as dead or unconscious and then treat you like that. That's really scary. And then the other side of the problem is general anesthesia. And there was a recent, very interesting study where people are actually conscious, but all the doctors and nurses that do lots of things. And sometimes people get traumatized, but sometimes people are conscious and then forget everything. In either case, I think this is really horrible. What we really need to know is how the brain generates or loses consciousness. And we want to know the way to properly measure this thing. And then my collaboration with Kavan is to utilize physicists' tool to develop some of these measurements.
Neuroscientist Nao Tsuchiya teamed up with quantum physicist Kavan Modi to try to develop a practical way to measure the degree of consciousness after the two were both invited to give talks at Monash University's math department. Modi was describing his work modelling energy transfer between a network of qubits, which are interacting particles that encode information and can serve as the building blocks of quantum computers, among other things. The pair quickly saw that the tools of physics he was using might be applied to model the connections between neurons in the brain. In particular, in both cases, the approach involves stimulating the system and then observing how it responds.
What I cared and also what Kavan cared was how the information emerged from the network. And that's only possible to reveal by perturbing or shaking the system. I was very surprised to see, in a sense, a heretic causal approach to information in this math department in the same university.
Now, we have been speaking in very theoretical terms up to this point in terms of mathematical modelling, but I know that the work that you have been involved with actually involves fruit flies and neural signals coming from these flies. And the first thing I thought when I read that, I was kind of thinking, well, I've seen these studies where people look at the signals, the electrical signals coming out of human beings' brains, and they wear these big sort of net type things with wires coming out over their heads. And I've seen experiments with fruit flies that are tiny, tiny little things. So, a very silly question just to begin with. How on earth do you measure sort of the brain signals coming out of a tiny little fly?
This is my collaboration with another neuroscientist in Queensland. This guy has a very special technique that uses very, very small wire, needle that has an electrode in it. And he would put it into the 1 millimeter of the fly brain. I don't know if you can believe it, but the fly has a brain. And the brain contains roughly 100,000 neurons in it. Fly can smell and make a decision and move and learn many things. And their brain structure is very similar to our brain. They get anesthetized and lose most likely consciousness, with exactly the same kind of drug that we get.
We can't really talk about full-blown consciousness when discussing fruit fly brains, but the Queensland contingent of the team were able to measure electrical signals from a group of flies while they were awake, and then again when they were under anaesthetic. Modi and Sushir then analysed the complexity of the signals to see if this measure encoded the degree of wakefulness of the flies. As quantum physicist Kavan Modi explains, this is a standard technique in physics for distinguishing when a phase transition has occurred. For example, you can tell whether a substance has changed from a solid to a liquid or to a gas by looking at how ordered the arrangement of the molecules are.
So my name is Kavan Modi. I am a senior lecturer at Monash University. You can look at the complexity of phases of matter and differentiate between different phases or when matter goes through a phase transition. So when water goes from being water to steam. And we're doing something very similar. We're just trying to differentiate between two different phases of conscious arousal. So when the fly is awake and when it's anesthetized.
The team did indeed find that the statistical complexity of the signals is larger for a fly when it is awake compared to when it is under anaesthetic. They believe that this demonstrates that you can have a reliable way to determine the level of conscious arousal by tapping into a small region of the brain rather than looking at many parts of the brain. But beyond complexity, Modi says they were surprised to find another marker of wakefulness, related to the direction of time and temporal asymmetry.
And we're doing something else as well. We're also looking at the temporal asymmetry in the neural signal. So if you were to drop a glass from your table and it hits the floor and it breaks, and if you were to record a movie of that, clearly you know the direction of time when you watch that movie later. Glass going from whole to broken is the direction of time. The reverse does not make much sense. But if you were to look at that movie at a molecular scale, you would not know what the direction of time is. And that was something else that we were thinking about, that suppose we look at a single neuron, can we see some difference between time running forwards or running backwards? And surprisingly, we were able to see some difference.
So it's almost about the brain's awareness or experience of a direction of time, which is something that it is aware of in the awake state, but not aware of in the sort of asleep state.
It's still a bit speculative. Theoretically, there is a bit of what you said called predictive coding. This theory, which is quite fashionable in the brain science, says that the brain is built to predict things in the world. When you are conscious, you are always trying to make a prediction about the future, and that has a specific direction of the time flow. Whereas when you lose consciousness, you don't need to predict anything. Brain can kind of relax, and that may be related to restoration of the energy.
Is that why when we're dreaming, we might, you know, have this kind of wacky sense of time?
That's the one that I was going to talk next. There was a friend of mine now in Michigan who discovered this sort of reversal replay phenomenon during the sleep, actually. What he did was an experiment in rats. He and other colleagues, you know, actually Nobel laureate, found these cells in a so-called hippocampus, the memory location in the brain, which sequentially fires when you go from the place A to place B to C, D. However, while they are sleeping, they discover that this sequence of the firing goes in the reverse order.
You described how people do these experiments with rats and you've done them with flies, but there must be people who are monitoring brain activity when people are asleep and dreaming. Have they noticed anything sort of like this?
I have never seen neuroscientists use this kind of index, like, you know, Kavan introduced, which can measure the temporal asymmetry. I'm very happy for the other neuroscientists to apply this tool to their, you know, data, and then see if this kind of asymmetry is found on their, you know, dreaming versus non-dreaming. And we are also, you know, collaborating with a dream researcher.
Oh, that sounds really exciting, because obviously there the difference you will have is that the humans can actually wake up and tell you what they were experiencing as well, which you can't really do with fruit flies. They're not very expressive in that respect.
Researchers have proposed different models of consciousness over the years, but there's not yet a definitive way to test between them. The plan is for the group in Queensland to send Tsuchiya and Modi a blind dataset of fly brain signals, one that hasn't been labelled, so they don't know which signals came from the group of flies that were asleep and which ones came from the flies that were awake. The idea is that they could then use the predictions made by different consciousness models to try to determine which flies were under anaesthetic and then compare these predictions by different models to the actual answers.
And that makes a huge, you know, empirical progress in what kind of theory does make a real prediction. And that's easy to do in flies and more difficult, but more valuable to do in humans.
But what about the big picture questions about the nature and origin of consciousness and how it emerges from matter? Kavan Modi.
So for me, this is, more I learn about neuroscience and more I learn about complexity science, it becomes a more and more daunting task. How do you actually have a subjective experience that you quantitatively measure and describe? But I think foundationally, the question that might be really tractable and might be worth pursuing more is the temporal asymmetry. Often our experiences, they recall memories and past experiences from long, long ago. For me, that's interesting because there are physical phenomena that have these complex structures of memory. And I'd like to see a connection between that and be really interesting to be able to measure these connections.
Thank you. And now, is there anything you want to add?
There are some kind of physical laws over there in the brain, and it's waiting to be discovered. Maybe the approach we have been taking, like, you know, completely siloed, the neuroscientists working on the brain, physicists working on the physics, and the philosopher working on the mind, that's the dead end. But, you know, if we completely change the way we tackle this problem, I think we have an end goal. At least within my lifetime, I want to see the way out.
Thanks to Nao Tsuchiya and Kavan Modi for waking me up with all that talk about sleep. We're putting links to their paper and more information about their work on the podcast page, fqxi.org/community/podcast.